Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Unlike a lot of radio and TV personalities, David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation, only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. And now, brace yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, here comes the unfiltered truth about money, investing, and retirement planning from a man who will give it to you straight. No bias and no spin. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. I have a very important topic I want to get into today. I'm seeing more and more in my financial planning practice, I'm seeing people that are, well, we are all aging, me included, everybody, all of us. And so I see that in working with couples and individuals. And as part of aging, we've talked about the decline in mental capacities on previous shows, how to look for that, early signs, what to do about it, possible courses of medical treatment. But there's also the other side of it that is the reality. And the reality is that as we get older, we may need help. And we may be able to get help from family members. We may be able to get help from financial people. We may be able to get help from those around us, friends. And there are certain things that you need to make sure you do to be prepared. Now, for part of that, there are things that are very legal or very technical, and you've got to be careful and you've got to do it right. And I tell people all the time, I'm not an attorney, but you do want to get good advice from a reputable, experienced attorney, get the proper legal documents in place. Don't wait till the last minute because it's hard to do sometimes. So that's something that I continue to talk about on this program. To add to that, I've invited a special guest on the program, and she is special. They're all special, but she is too. Her name is Amy Atcha, and she is president of Customized Caring. Amy, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad you're on the program because you are already, you are where I think a lot of people are going to go with this. You're already helping people with these very challenging issues and things that this transition that people are making. Amy is a CPA. She is also a certified employee benefit specialist and a certified fraud examiner. She has a bachelor's in business administration and also accounting to get the CPA. You've done a lot of work in this area, Amy. Give me a little bit more of the background and what led you to be in a position to help people, guiding them in this area.
Well, you know, as with many things, it all started based on a personal experience.
Okay.
Back a few years ago, back in 2004, my family was literally living all over the world. And I had a brother who traveled quite a bit. He was actually living down in Florida at the time. And he was very independent with his life. However, at one day, he ended up having a heart attack. Mm. And at that time, you know, we wondered, of course, you know, of course, we're hoping he's going to come out of it. Everything's going to be fine. And the more that the time went on and the days went on and his medical situation went on, we realized that that just wasn't going to be the case. So that's what led me into this, walking into that room to support my mom, to support my dad, and to see what condition my brother was in at the time and realizing he's going to need some help. He's going to need somebody to step up to the plate to handle not only the medical decisions, but also his day-to-day life, his business affairs, and his bill paying and things like that that we don't typically think of, especially when we're in such a emotional situation as a tragic event or a heart attack situation.
So he had you, and you. So this was kind of the genesis of your practice today. You stepped in to help him.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. So I had quite a bit of experience with the government in my previous job, working with the federal court system and as an accountant, knew the financial end of things and also working through the court system. So I stepped up to the plate helping mom and dad through the system of what do we need to do? Because it's not as simple as, well, I'm Jeff's mom. I can just pick up his mail. It's all a, you know, all a process that I'm sure, you know, most people don't stop to think of the details of it. But it is a process to get, even to pick up someone else's mail and to pay someone else's bills. So having my experience working with the court system really paid off in that aspect as well, just knowing what was possible, what was required to have to get things going again.
Well, the obvious thing, and this is part of why I wanted to have you on the program, Amy, is not everyone has a sister with your expertise and capability. And so exactly. I suspect that's part of what brought you to say, hey, there's probably a need with other people. So this is something that you are, it's a big part of what you do is helping people where they don't have someone to do that. You can step in, your company, you, this is part of your specialty, you step in and provide that power of attorney, that guardianship. So let's get into that a little bit, because I think this will be very helpful for people to understand how you do this. And even if they don't call you or get in touch with you, and what the website for our program today, ladies and gentlemen, is customizedcaring.com. Even if they don't get in touch with you, they'll understand just how involved this really is.
Right. And I want to say, too, that this is not just a situation in which we think, well, if I don't have any siblings or if I don't have any children to take care of me. In the world that we live in today, we are really a very global world. And my family, as an example, is scattered literally across the world. I have a brother in Australia, another brother down in Houston, and I'm up here in Chicago.
Wow.
So, you know, who's going to take care of mom and dad is the question.
And you know what? I read a statistic the other day, Amy, that the average distance between family members is 1,200 miles in the United States.
Wow. Yeah.
So, I mean, so, and you're living proof of that. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break before we dive into the details of the kinds of things that people need to have and some of the preparations. Amy Atch is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. She's president of Customized Caring, Inc., customizedcaring.com. We'll be right back after this short break.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Amy Atch is our guest today, and she is a CPA. She specializes in guardianship, power of attorney, and we kind of introduced this concept before the break, and one of the key things that I think Amy was getting at, and I want to add to, is that this isn't just for people that find themselves without being in a position to have a family member, even if you do have family being spread out around the world, right, Amy, that, you know, this is something that people may want to have, even if they do have family.
Right. It's something that I think that we all need. You know, we never know. Life is definitely precious, and we never know when our turn will be where we're going to have some small event or some big event happen to us where we're going to need the care. We tend to think of ourselves as being very independent. That's the way you were raised, to take care of yourself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, help us understand this. So whether they get it from a professional like you or they're going to have somebody else, family or friend, do it, let's get into some of the nuts and bolts of what needs to be done when a person, let's assume first that they are, we could of course go through a couple different scenarios, but let's first assume somebody is incapacitated. They just cannot do for themselves either mentally or physically. So they need somebody to make decisions for them, to do things for them, both money, legal, whatever it is. So first of all, what happens, or let's back up even further, what needs to be in place for somebody else to be able to step in?
Sure. Well, ideally, long before any of that would happen, you would put into place a power of attorney. And there are, in the state of Illinois, there's two powers of attorney, one for health care and one for your assets or your finances.
Same in Florida.
And right. So it could be the same person could be power of attorney for each, or you could have different people that would work closely together. Those are the first two big steps to knowing who's going to speak for me in the event that I cannot. whether it's just for a short period of time or whether it's for a long period of time, perhaps after a stroke or a heart attack or some other catastrophic event. So that first step really is having that power of attorney. And along with that comes the discussions that need to take place between you, your power of attorney, your family members, of what exactly do you want to happen to you? What type of care do you want? What do you want to be done with your assets in the event that you can't speak for yourself? So I've actually written a book to this effect of putting together all of those facts that you have now and what you want to go going forward, what you want in your life in the event that you cannot speak for yourself.
What's the name of the book?
And the book is called Me, Facts and Forecast. And the reason I called it Me is because you write it about yourself. It's
oh, okay.
Like a workbook. You fill it in about yourself, and then you can have it on the shelf or in the drawer, the file drawer, to let your family members know what it is that you want to have done to you in the event that you have a disabling event happen in your life. So they don't end up in the situation I ended up in with my brother, which is, how do I pick up the pieces? Where do I even begin?
Well, with your brother, did you have to actually get, what did he have these things in place, or did you have to have the courts get involved?
He did not have anything in place. At the time he had his heart attack, he was only 42.
Wow.
And that, you know, people, when you're in your 30s and 40s, you're busy living your life. You're not thinking, well, what happens if something happens to me? That only happens to old people, you think. Well, it can happen to anyone at any point in time. So the first thing was to get, if you can, have a power of attorney in place to start with. After that, if you don't have a power of attorney in place, as I had to do with my brother Jeff, we had to go through the court to have me instated as a legal guardian to effectively take on those powers that a power of attorney would have allowed for had he had it in place. So that's the first step.
Well, and, you know, obviously, I'm sure if people can have these things already arranged, it's going to be a lot less expensive than going through the courts and take a lot less time than going through the courts. And so if a person says, okay, I understand I need somebody to be able to step in, pay my bills, take care of my affairs, but it's not just the money, right? It's also their healthcare decisions, right?
Correct. And that's probably the more emotional side of things that get involved. So in dealing with anyone with their healthcare, you know, it's hard to say what you may want later on, but that's where the discussion is really important to understand, as I like to say, where do you want to draw that line in the sand between additional care, perhaps a ventilator, oxygen therapy, medication therapy, nutritional therapy, and where you have decided that enough is enough. And you want to draw that line and not have those additional therapies offered. And that's a discussion that really should take place, if possible, between yourself and your power of attorney.
So somebody else
before anything happens.
Yeah, so Amy, so somebody else needs to be in a position to be able to make decisions that will make you better or make decisions that will let you go peacefully when there's really no hope. But you've also got another
right.
component of this that I think a lot of people overlook. The actual, and I want to talk about this after another quick break, the actual guardianship of the person themselves that I think a lot of people overlook.
Sure.
Okay, let's take another quick break. We'll be right back with Amy Atcha.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I have Amy Atcha, CPA, on the line with me. Website is customizedcaring.com. And on the website, we mentioned before the break, she's got a book that lays all this out, Me, Facts and Forecasts, A Guide for Now and Later. And you can pick that up right on her website. Amy, we kind of set it up before the break, and I want to get into it because I think it's something that people overlook very often, and that you've got the healthcare surrogate and the living will, which can take care of make me better, let me go. And then, of course, you've got the durable power of attorney for financial stuff, pay my bills as if they were your bills, take care of things, make sure I don't get booted out of a facility, make sure things get paid. But the other piece that I think is very often overlooked is actually guardianship of the person, being responsible
right.
for them. So how does that work?
So that all is going to depend on what position physically that person would be in. So are they in a situation where they're going to need independent, where they can no longer live independently and they're going to need 24-hour oversight? Or are they in such a situation where where a group home might be appropriate for them to live in? They'll need a little bit of oversight. So that's a real key. And most of us want to live independently or live in a small group family type arrangement. So that's a big question of what is appropriate for that person to live in. Do they need that skilled care in actually a nursing home? Or could it be somewhat less of the supervision that they might be able to have? Most of the time we think of somebody who's had some very traumatic event and they can't take care of themselves at all. Guardianship can run the gamut clear to just needing some oversight, perhaps just having some assistance along the way, not necessarily having somebody who makes every single decision for you day to day. Those different types of living environments would be different.
And so, I mean, if somebody is still lucid and mentally, you know, let's do two pieces. Physically, they're not able to do things, but they're still mentally there. Okay.
Uh-huh.
They're still their own person and they can make their own decisions. So if they are in effect, I'm not if I'm using the right words here, but they are their own guardian, if you will.
Correct.
Okay. But when they can't, when they don't have that cognitive ability and somebody else needs to step in because they are considered incompetent legally, then somebody else takes over the responsibility. They become in control, if you will, of that person.
Sure.
Okay. And so when that happens, somebody needs to have that authority and they are the ones to then determine where that person lives, to direct certain things to happen. And then is that something where it could be an individual or is that something where a facility might have that responsibility?
It could be both. So okay. Depending on the condition of the person. In my situation, I serve as a guardian, but I do not have my person under guardianship physically live with me.
Right,
so
but the actual authority. Yeah, the authority is what I'm talking about. Yeah.
The authority lies with me.
Okay. So you have actual authority. You can say if somebody has this authority, somebody has set this up either with a person or they've retained somebody like Amy to step in and help, and they need to go into a facility and then you decide, Amy, later that you don't like the facility, you have the authority
right.
to take them out.
To take them out and to move them. Correct.
Okay.
So I even though they wouldn't be living with me, I would continue to have the oversight authority
okay.
of their care, still that fiduciary responsibility of making sure that they're being well cared for, just as if they were my own family member living right under my roof. So that runs the gamut of medication, food, clothing, you know, of course, then, you know, the physical being of are they being cared for hygiene-wise and socially as well, because we don't want to just put somebody in an environment and then walk away.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So to speak. So the social environment comes up as well, making sure that they are getting that social interaction as any human would want, as any person would want.
You know, Amy, what occurs to me as you're describing this, thank God for Amy. this is fantastic
you.
That you do this because so many families, I am sure, that you've worked with don't have that person to turn to, and they, without you, it would be, I mean, yes, ultimately, maybe there's some governmental fallback, but to be able to plan for this in advance is so, I would think, you could probably tell me story after story, so so peace-giving that somebody can know that this is all prearranged.
It is. That is the big piece, because we all know that we're going to be in that position one day. We all hope it won't be tomorrow, but it'll be 20, 30, 40, 50 years out. So if we can plan for it now, it's really going to bring that peace of mind, not only to ourselves, but also to our family members, to know that somebody is going to be there to take care of me, somebody is going to be there, and it might not be a family member. You might not want it to be a family member because you don't want to burden that family member with that extra responsibility. Maybe you don't want to have that family member have to be tethered right to you all the time, or maybe you do.
Yeah, you. There's a lot of different scenarios, and I've seen situations where families don't want to burden. I've seen situations
right.
where families do not want them involved because there's a lack of, I don't know, trust or estrangement or something else. There's a whole bunch of different reasons. And to know that if this is something you need to do to be able to plan this ahead, I think it's fantastic.
Yes, I agree. It is one of the best gifts that you can give to the rest of your living relatives that you know will one day have to help take care of you.
Let's do this, Amy. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Let's talk about some of the costs involved, because I'm sure people are curious. Amy Atcher is our guest. Ladies and gentlemen, customizedcaring.com. Quick break, and we're right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back. Amy Atcher is our guest today, and she is guiding us through guardianship and some of these different issues and pre-planning, arranging for, having the care that you need when you're not able to take care of yourself, and also the making sure the bills are paid. And you know, before we get into the cost a little bit, Amy, I wanted to say that, you know, this isn't something that has to be done one way. There's a lot of different scenarios, I would imagine, that you have with families where they only want certain things, or maybe they've got a family friend that can do the healthcare part, but they really need that financial support or financial guidance.
Correct. So there's a couple different ways to attack it, so to speak, is looking at it, too, from the position of who would I want if this happened today?
There you go.
Also knowing that, you know, if it doesn't happen today, you can change your mind. It's not a document that you've set out that is, you know, engraved in cement there that you can never, ever change. You can go ahead and make your decision based on today's situation, based on today's what's happening with what's going on with your life and the lives of your family members that you might want involved in your care. That's certainly reasonable. Again, thinking that, you know what, later on I might choose someone else. I might revise this document, which is always an option, because as long as you are competent to do so, you can update it as you go along. So that's a big thing to keep in mind. The other thing with the power of attorney, especially a durable power of attorney, it means that a person will be able to step into your shoes to help take care of you, whether it's healthcare decisions or financial decisions, but it does not leave that other person, the original person, without the ability to speak.
Right.
So right now, it's not as if I can take over someone else's life. I would be working with that person to make decisions to the extent that we could. And then once they can no longer make decisions, that's where then I would have the authority to go in and make those decisions for them. But in no way would I take over someone's life while they're still competent to handle their own affairs.
And that, likewise with some of the other stuff, they can also revoke that if they chose to.
Right, right.
As long as
so
they're competent.
Not exactly. So it's not something that you're getting into and you can never get out of. So that should hopefully eliminate some of the fear of entering into such a document like this. A lot of times families will not want their children to be involved because they don't want the infighting, the bickering between the children. Who should take care of mom and dad? Is it both of you? Is it none of you? You know, how is that going to be? So that's where sometimes the outside power of attorney can be very helpful too, just to stop from the internal fighting that might go on within the families.
Yeah, I've seen that, and I've seen it work much better when people have that ability to have that external third party that doesn't have the experience when they were 8 years old with the family.
Right.
All that
right.
History, you know. Now, let's do this, Amy. Let's talk a little bit about what people should expect when they start looking for these kinds of services in terms of cost. You know, everybody's fairly familiar with what it costs if you end up having to go into a nursing home and how much those costs can mm-hmm. be. They know how much, you know, generally it costs to have a tax return done. But we're getting into an area where I think a lot of people don't really understand the cost. So help us kind of get a bird's eye view or an overview of how the costs work or what people should be expecting to pay when they have these types of services done for them.
Sure. Well, on the guardianship end, when you have a legal guardian appointed, the initial cost is really the most stunning factor. And it would come out of the estate of the person who is under guardianship. And it can run anywhere up to $20,000 if you're for just that first time period, maybe that first 6 months, if you're not prepared, if you do not have a power of attorney in place, if you do not have your health care, your advance directives in place, because of the need to go into court, because of the need to have an attorney involved in going into the courtroom to get a guardian installed. So that's one big piece that, really can be avoided by having a power of attorney. After that piece, having whether it's an outside power of attorney or a legal guardian, fees typically vary by area, of course. So in the bigger metropolitan areas, they may be a little bit higher, and typically would be based on an hourly rate.
Okay.
So it could be anywhere from, you know, depending on the work that's done, if it's simple bill paying, you know, $50 an hour, up to if it's full on making, you know, major healthcare decisions, you could be talking up to $200 an hour for those decisions.
Okay, so this is, I wanted to kind of put it into a category. It's fee for service. It's hourly.
Exactly.
It's not a percentage of the estate. It's not some of the other things that could be related to this, like trustee work or investment work. Some of those things are percentages. You know, handling an estate as a personal representative or executor, these are percentage things. This is an hourly basis. And so that's something that when people have worked with you, Amy, I imagine that you give them a sense for how much time we're talking about. You know, look, if you're going to need these kinds of services, absent something crazy or out in left field, this is what it's going to cost for these things to be able to be done on a monthly basis.
Right. And I can also give them a guide as to, you know, that startup time, that first couple of months where the relationship is new, where you're gathering a lot of information, where you're having to do inventories of assets, inventories of, you know, health situations. That's going to be quite a bit more time spent than your maintenance mode,
okay,
so to speak. If you have someone who's in an assisted living facility where really you're not having to have all of the daily hands-on interaction. And that's going to be a whole different price than, of course, on a, you know, if you think hours, you know, you're only going to be spending a much less amount of time going forward. And then, of course, at the near the end of life, there are, again, the fees are going to go up just because of the situation of how are we going to care for this person and then winding up their estate, wrapping it up. But I do charge not based on percentage of assets because it's it just doesn't, to me as a guardian, it seems that I want you to keep all of your assets. I don't want you to be spending them, certainly, on paying me. So they should be there for you and for the benefit of your, you know, your well-being.
Excellent,
Amy. It's not based on that.
That's very good. Amy Atch has been our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. Amy, I know it's a surprise. We're out of time already. It was great having you on the program. Very insightful and helpful and very relevant subject today. Take a look at Amy's book on the website, customizedcaring.com. Amy, thank you again for being on the program.
Thank you for having me. It's been a joy.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll have to do it again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.